of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who taught us to pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever. Hymn is 92. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. 92.
Oh,
My text this morning is St. Luke chapter 22, verse 28. Ye are they which have continued with me in my temptation. You are those who have continued with me in my trials. Jesus described his disciples in many ways, but I think that this is the noblest and the most lovely of them all. How great an honor to be counted the companions of his temptations, the acquaintances of his ordeals. I wish I could be included in that description. But even more important, it is a testimony to the inner life of Jesus. For a moment, he draws aside the veil, and we see his life in terms of his temptations or of his trials. Perhaps the verse is also a touchstone of his hope. He knew that the greatest temptation and the greatest ordeal was yet to come. Did he wonder if they would still remain with him in the hours that lay ahead? The Pyrasmos. The temptation, the trial, the ordeal. The word surfaces in the Gospel in several important places. This is the word that is used of his temptations in the wilderness after he was baptized. There is that significant phrase that after the devil had tempted him, the devil departed from him until an opportune moment. The devil comes and will come again and again and yet again. The word, which of course is St. Luke's word preeminently, the verb is scattered through the Gospels, but the noun is St. Luke's noun. The word surfaces in the Lord's Prayer. So significant is the fact of temptation, of trial, of ordeal in his own life, that he prays, that he bids us pray, lead us not into temptation. In the definitive parable of the preaching of the gospel, the parable of the seed and of the sower, it surfaces. And in the scene at Gethsemane, twice he says, pray lest ye enter into temptation. You see, the successive points in the life of Jesus, the Pyrasmos, the ordeal, the trial, the temptation. But I am not here to consider or to evaluate the life of Jesus in terms of his trial. I want now, in a few moments, to evaluate his cross. It is his cross which is the pyrasmos. It is his cross which is the trial, the ordeal. And I'm going also to say this. It is the cross which is the scene of the greatest temptation. It's the devil who tries to have the first word in the life of Jesus Christ after his baptism. And it's the devil who tries to have the last word in the life of Jesus Christ before he dies. I am not thinking of the physical ordeal of the cross, great, severe, and dreadful, though that was. But I am thinking of two moments in the cross, which for me represent the greatest ordeals in the life and death of Jesus, and the two moments when the devil launched his greatest temptation. The first moment was at the very beginning of the cross story. Jesus has just lived through the cruelty of the betrayal and the agony of Peter's denial. He has faced with calm and divine majesty the dreadful hostility of the leaders of the Jews. He has been bandied about from Caiaphas to Herod and to Pilate. He has faced the mocking of the soldiers. He has faced the jeers and the taunts of the onlookers. He has suffered the nails. He has been hung upon the cross. It was at this moment that the devil came to him, I think. Jesus, you know what you said. You say, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Do you see where it has brought you to? Do you see it isn't true, is it? Look what they've done to you. It isn't true. Give it up. Jesus embraces the full blast of the temptation, and his first word upon the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. This sentence is the redemption of the cross itself. This sentence is the salvation of the lies of the false witnesses. This sentence is the saving of Pilate's sentence. This act is whereby the nails of the cross and the hammering and the cruelty of the soldiers and the mocking of the onlookers, this is how these things were redeemed. The first thing that our blessed Lord did on the cross was to redeem the cross itself. And the first onslaught is over, and it is conquered. count the cost of it? Who can describe the toll that it must have taken? Pilate marveled that he had died so soon. This is one of the reasons. Because as soon as he was hung upon the cross, he was exposed to the full fury of the devil, attacking the second greatest thing that Jesus had ever said. But however severe this is, and however terrible this is, it almost fades into insignificance compared with the last throw of the devil's dart. Jesus, a few hours later, is at the end of his life. He is almost about to draw his last breath. He is at the end of his physical tether. He is in his weakest moment. He is longing to die. And this is the moment. Moment that the devil is astute enough to understand. The moment when the devil launches the greatest attack. The moment when the devil launches the final all-out knockout blow. It's now or never for the devil. Jesus, I know you are very weak, he says. Can you hear me? You have always said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. Do you see what it has brought you to? You're quite wrong, you know. God doesn't love you. He doesn't care anything for you. Do you see where this teaching of yours has brought you? And you know, we see Jesus in the midst of this temptation. Not in Luke, it is true, but in Matthew and Mark. For when the temptation is on, when it's going on, Jesus cries out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? The devil has succeeded in tempting Jesus into a question, at least. How long this lasted, we do not know. That experience, of course, we shall never understand. He went through it in order that we might never go through it. But we do see him emerge on the other side. For we hear that with his penultimate breath, he was able to say, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. And the devil had failed. You see, out of these seven words on the cross, these are the words which witness to the ordeal. Each of them is prefaced by Father. Each of them is prefaced by the Father. Father, forgive them. Father, into thy hands. And the devil has failed forever. His first act on the cross was to save the cross. His last act on the cross was to save God for the world. His last act on the cross was to save God for you and for me. Do you know this? Had you realized that? Let us pray. Father, into thy hands we give ourselves. Our lives and our ministries, the hours, the months, the years that are still left. By thy great mercy, receive us, we pray. For Jesus Christ's sake, we ask.